makes me.
That'll make you shout a little bit.
That's a thank you. Thank you guys for being here this morning. It's a exciting day. It's something good that we've gotten to do something like this. It's the first time in quite some time that we've been able to gather and to just have a special group in and just worship together. I hope you're as happy about it as I am. Today's sermon topic is one source and one family. According to a study of more than 500 family counselors, the following are the top traits of successful families: communicating and listening, affirming and supporting family members, respecting one another, developing a sense of trust, sharing time and responsibility, knowing right from wrong, having rituals and traditions, sharing a religious core, and respecting privacy. And that's from family on Focus on the Family. Lots of shared belief, shared respect, and shared love. Wouldn't it be great to be a part of a family like that? And we are. We're a part of the family of God, and I hope through the message today you hear that and you feel that. Our verses are Hebrews 2, 11 through 18. It says, "For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, is able to help those who are being tempted." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to gather as a family today. And Lord, I pray that we remember our source. Lord God, you are so great. You have blessed us in so many ways. And Lord, help us today to worship and praise you the way you deserve. Honor and glory to you alone, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, church. Stand with us. Let's continue to worship this morning. You might know this one too.
It's good to have a place where you feel at home, where you feel like you have family around you. I think deep down in our hearts, we all desire that of our lives. It's always amazing to me as a pastor and just as a believer in Christ that you travel around the country, you go to another church, and they're just a part of the family too. And it doesn't take very long. You start to feel that same spirit, that same connection with them. And it really comes down to the fact that we do have one source. We have one God, and that same God is being worshipped in multiple places all over our country and our world today. It's one of the great things about, you got one of these hopefully when you came in. It's an Annie Armstrong offering. It's part of how we fund missions in the United States and in North America. So please be in prayer about how you can donate to that. But because there are plenty of our family members that aren't inside this building today. So we do have to remember that we have one source and one family. I remember when I was in the Army, I walked into the barracks at boot camp and I came in by myself. There wasn't another single person from West Virginia even, and there was only two people that were the same ethnicity as me. I felt out of place, self-conscious, and like I had made some kind of huge mistake. But it wasn't very long. And ultimately, I began to form bonds and relationships with those people as we went through a traumatic time together as we faced obstacles and overcame them and suddenly kind of claimed victory at the end when we all get to graduate boot camp together. We were family by that time. 8-10 weeks in, all of a sudden you had that type of real bond with those people. I have to say, I felt a little that way when I came here for the first time in 2001. I walked in and thought, what in the world kind of mistake have I made? I don't belong in a church, period, and certainly not this church. I didn't come back for 3 years. But then through the efforts of some prayer and the way you guys had adopted my family and my wife particularly, and she had a group of ladies that were praying for me, and probably 3 of the most miserable years of my life as God was convicting me of the need for Him. But I came, and we went through some traumatic times, particularly some of you that are in this room that have been here with me this whole time, or before even. But in the 17 years since I accepted Christ, which this month is 17 years, today is actually 17 years, March 7th, 2004. Was the day that I became a part of the family of God. We've been through some traumatic times, but we've had to overcome some real obstacles as a group. And we've come out and seen victory in multiple circumstances. To me, this is only the latest of those. And the fact of the matter is, as part of the way that we were able to have this group come in here today was because this family has been so generous during this time that we've been through all of these struggles. As a matter of fact, we had the largest giving year that we've had in the time that I've been pastor. This past year, when we could meet the least, when we could do the least things collectively. That's a phenomenal statement about the faithfulness of God working through His people during that time. It's what paved the way for us to be able to do this. But I learned a really valuable lesson back in boot camp, too, that shouldn't be lost. You know, I was 18 years old. I wanted out of Parkersburg, West Virginia, so bad I could taste it. I thought the world was going to be so much better if I could just get beyond the one I was in, or the boundaries that I felt like were around me. So I went to boot camp. I'm talking to those people, and every day I'm telling them how horrible Parkersburg, West Virginia is. And one day we get close to the end, and there's some guys that weren't going to get to go home. And I said, well, you guys should come and go with me. We'll go back to Parkersburg. I'll show you around. And they said, why would we want to go to Parkersburg? All you've done for 10 weeks is talk bad about Parkersburg. You know, we can do that same thing in our families. You know, your last name, if you start running your parents down, you got the same last name. Your reputation is just as damaged by it as theirs is. Maybe not immediately, but it comes. We can do the same thing in our church. You know, we disagree. There's lots of disagreements in churches right now, I think, over different policies, different things. Be careful who you're running down. Because the name, the family name, matters more than you think it does. And it should matter. Because we have one source and one family. So Hebrews 2:11 through 18 says, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. It's a phenomenal statement. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. It's a phenomenal statement. Saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. He became human flesh. That through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, and that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Just tells us how great a Savior we have, but also that we have one source and we share it with him. Jesus and his disciples had been through something traumatic together. They had been tested together. They had survived together. And they had become family. Today we experience that same thing. We talked about that a moment ago. And now we share in that family that was created by the things that Christ and his disciples went through. Remember, we're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the disciples that took the message and went out from there. You know, one of the greatest things that I saw this week was a reinvigoration of our people in this church to invite people to come to church. It was to come because we were going to do something special, but it reignited the idea that, hey, I can invite people to church. I can invite people to come. Because we're laying that foundation for the next generation and the next generation. But I always kind of marvel at the fact that on our normal Sunday mornings, we have a variety of age groups and the music up here. Now we have a variety of age groups too. Jason and I have a little more gray in our beards than we used to have. And now I'd say you guys are the elder statesmen of the group, Rodney and Jason. So they've got some young guys with them. But that's paving the way for the next generation. We're building on that foundation that was there. We've seen that in our own church. Talked about it before, but in 2016, when we came back here from Beverly, we ran somewhere in the neighborhood of between 55 and 60% that was 50 years and older. Now our church, on average, even during this time, runs somewhere around 30 to 35% that's 55 and older, somewhere around 30 to 35% that's 25 to 55, and 30% that's 25 and younger. That's phenomenal. That says we're doing something to pave the way for the next generation, that we're bringing them in and building them up and providing a platform for them, because we share in this passage. I love it that in this passage we see Old Testament passages that support this point. He kind of quotes these series of passages to illustrate this one source connection, this family connection. Well, the reason why is because the New Testament wasn't complete yet, so he's writing this to Jewish believers too. So he wants to make the point to them that there's good standing. But if it had been the New Testament, he might have used passages like this, like Mark 3, 31 through 35. And it says, and his mother, Jesus, and his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. He's pointing out the fact that there's a family connection even bigger than a biological family connection. I don't know how many of you experience this. For me, I certainly have, where the people inside of my church are as much or more family than is my biological family. Not that I discount what my biological family meant to me, but our one source can't be ignored. That one source draws us together in a different way than even our biological heritage does. It reminds us that whoever does the will of God becomes brothers and sisters and mothers of Christ. Ephesians 2:19 says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are now fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. It's a promise that we have of being belonging to something bigger than ourselves, bigger than those things immediately around us, bigger than the things that challenge us an awful lot of the time. That reason, that membership in the family of God is why we can cling to the promises of this kind of chain of salvation from Romans 8, 28 through 31. It says, we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? We have one source. That source is God. God continues to work in and through us as brothers and sisters in Christ to conform us to look more and more like Him. We've talked over the last few weeks everything from being diligent, paying attention, not allowing yourself to drift, to understanding the example that Christ has set for us in His suffering and how we're to go through that suffering and come out looking more like Christ, not more like the world. We have one source. And in this day, I want us to be reminded that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to remember that when we're looking across at the other person. Because too often we're looking across with something in our hearts that isn't welcome to the family. It's something more like, maybe you need out of my family. Of course, I realize that we're not all going to do the three musketeer things. We're not going to stand up here and go all for one and one for all. We're not always going to agree. We're not always going to do those things. But when we disagree, we have to go back to the source. We have to go back to our Father, ask Him what we're supposed to do. Here's what He says we're supposed to do. Rid ourselves of bitterness, malice, anger, contention. Love one another. Think of others as more highly than yourself. Our one source desires this family, the entirety of this family, even the family that meets outside of this. You know, Jesus has His source in the Father. We have our source in the Son. We have our helper in the Spirit. Our one source together is the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we learn to really enjoy and sink into this one source, certain differences just kind of fade away. God becomes more important and the peripherals become less important. It becomes less important what political party we are, or less important whether we're for masks or against masks. It becomes less important whether you're black or white or whatever color. All of those things are peripheral issues if we remember the one source. But if we don't remember the one source, those things have a tendency to become the main thing. It's the reason why Philippians 2:2 says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Being of the same mind, the same love. This full accord of one mind only happens if we remember the source. Christ endured the cross for the sake of that source and for us. Remember, I said earlier, the Garden of Gethsemane, that moment, you know, that moment where Christ, to me, reveals His humanity more than any other time when He, in tears, is weeping and says to the Lord, if there is any other way, but not my will be done, but yours. I'm sure there's been times where you have felt the same way as I have, even in my own biological family, where I've looked across the table and thought to myself, how in the world could you be related to me? But then I have to remember we're family. And in the end, it can't always be about my will. There needs to be something higher, something greater than that. Not my will, but His be done. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." There's far more right now in this room than two or three. So who else is here? And where is our focus? Is our focus on that one source, the living God, the one we come here to worship, the one we sing songs about, the one we lift our hands in praise for? If we will center ourselves on Him, these other issues will become less and less and less issues. They just will. John 15:4-5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We need to abide in him because we want to yield the fruit that builds family, that encourages family, that edifies family. We're only going to bear that type of fruit when we are sticking close to Christ, when He is our central focus. What does it really mean to us today, all of this? It means we have a Savior who has called us brothers and sisters. It means I now have thousands of brothers and sisters. My family is huge, and your family is huge. I have a Savior who I can depend on. I have people who I can depend on. Other brothers and sisters in Christ. I have people that depend on me. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to be able to rely on one another. Clinging to the source, growing towards Him, getting closer and closer in our relationships. The world around us would have us competing against ourselves and against each other so much that the only thing destroyed in that process is our family. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." We are to be there for each other during the tough times and during the good times. I need an encouraging word from you, and you need an encouraging word from me. We are family. You are my family. I care deeply for each of you. As such, we can hurt each other very easily, but we can also equally easily lift one another up. Rudyard Kipling once wrote about families, "All of us are we, and everyone else is they. A family shares things like dreams, hopes, possessions, memories, smiles, frowns, and gladness. A family is a clan held together with the glue of love and the cement of mutual respect. A family is shelter from the storm, a friendly port when the waves of life become too wild. No person is ever actually alone who is a member of a family." It's hard to remember at times. I think this past year, it's been harder for people to remember than ever. Because we've all been so separated, so isolated, that we feel alone. I would encourage you to remember that that is not a strategy of God. God's strategy is not to isolate you and keep you away from other believers. You are never actually alone who is a member of a family. Don't let Satan convince you that you are. Before I was saved, I always kind of felt alone pretty much most of my life, I think. In one fashion or another, probably the greatest blessing to me initially in my salvation was the amount of people that it seemed like overnight cared about me. One of the reasons that we are here as a family is Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Because we need one another. We need just the fellowship of one another. One of the reasons I'm so excited about this weekend is because we're doing something tonight that's just coming together and being together. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. They are poor. They are despised. They are persecuted. What is worse, they are imperfect and faulty, often sorrowful, cast down, condemning themselves, groaning at the mercy seat, yet he is not ashamed to call them brothers. There is such a unity between the believer, but be he in what sorrow he may, and the Christ be in he what glory he may, that he is never ashamed to own the close relationship to them. And what that really is meaning is this: he's not ashamed to call us brothers, even when he probably should be. Even when we are acting like anything except members of his family. Still yet, Jesus Christ is not afraid to call you, or unashamed to call you, brothers. Hebrews 2, 1 through 12 says, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source, and that is why he is not ashamed to call you brothers. He is not ashamed of me, and I will not be ashamed of him. I would encourage you to do the same thing. That's why Romans 1:16 tells us, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Brothers and sisters, family, let us not drift from our Lord. Let us pay attention to what it is he is doing. Let us allow our suffering to produce character in us that exhibits Christ to others, and let us love like family. And the question then would become, are you a part of this family today? As we go to our time of invitation, I would encourage you to pray about whether or not you are a part of this family at all. And if you're not, if you haven't experienced Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to surrender your life to him today. If you are here and you recognize the fact that maybe you haven't loved like you should the brothers and sisters you have in Christ, I would encourage you during this time of invitation to repent of that, to ask God to help you walk more stalwartly, to live out more the beliefs that we profess. And if nothing else, if there is no need in any of those issues in your life, praise the God who is your one source, who has brought you this family of God for encouragement, for edification, for reproof, for building up. And let us stir one another up to good works. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for the family that you've brought me, for the people that are sitting here, that some of them have been with me this entire time, Lord, 17 years of helping me or encouraging me or guiding me or directing me, Lord, and I thank you so much for each one of those people in my life. Lord, I thank you that I continue to find common ground with them, because our common ground is in you. Help us, Lord, to be a God-following, God-honoring church. Help us shed the things of the world that divide and cling to the things of you that unite. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Cause you
That should fire you up. One Source, One Family. That's the title of our message today. We're just going to do a brief introduction here, read over the verses that we'll be studying, and then we're going to hear some more good music, and then we'll come back to this in just a few minutes. According to a study of more than 500 family counselors, the following are the top traits of a successful family: communicating and listening, affirming and supporting family members, respecting one another, developing a sense of trust, sharing time and responsibility, knowing right from wrong, having rituals and traditions, sharing a religious core, and respecting privacy. That's from Focus on the Family back in 1988. I'd say those things still ring true for families today. And for us, as a family of believers, we have a lot of shared beliefs. We have shared respect and shared love. And who wouldn't want to be a part of a family like that? So I hope that today you understand and embrace the fact that you are a part of that family if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. We are a family of believers together. So let's read our verses. I'll pray for us and hand it back over to Jason. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for this group behind me and the group in front of me. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we are one family held together by one source, you. Lord, help us today to worship you in the way you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Stand with us. Let's continue to worship this morning.
It's really good to have all of you here this morning. I'm glad that you came out to be a part of what's going on this morning. I'm glad you came out to support the Jason Lovins Band and the church. And we're glad to have you here. Whether you're a visitor or you've been coming for a long time, it's a good day to be here. I really feel like it's one of those days where we get to remind ourselves of the family that we have. And just be reminded of exactly what it is that God has done for us and through us and continues to do in and through us and around us. When I was in the Army right after high school, I remember I walked into the barracks at boot camp and I came in by myself, not another single person there from West Virginia, and only two other people that were even the same ethnicity as me. I felt out of place, self-conscious, like I had made some kind of huge mistake, like I wasn't where I needed to be. But in boot camp, I ended up with guys that I barely knew that became family. Now, they were brothers. We had been through something traumatic together, something challenging, something that tested us. We survived together. We had truly become family. I felt that same way when I walked into this church for the first time back in 2001. As a matter of fact, I felt so out of place initially that I didn't come back for three more years. But my wife had a group of ladies that were praying for us, and praying for me particularly. She was saved that year and then began to have those ladies pray for my salvation. It might have been the most miserable 3 years of my life as God brought conviction upon conviction on me. But in 2004... I ended up accepting Christ as my Savior and joined the family of God. And I figured out what it really meant to be one family with one source, with a group of people that didn't come from the same backgrounds that I did or anything else. Matter of fact, there's some real significance to the dates that we're celebrating even here today. Today is exactly 17 years from the day that I accepted Christ. 17 years, yeah. Lots of things have changed in 17 years. 4 years ago, though, the very first weekend of March, the Jason Lovins Band came to lead us in a revival, and a gentleman named Bill Hennard, who was our state executive for a while, came and preached revival for 4 days. That was about 1 week from when you all had voted me in as the pastor of this church. One family. We've become that because we've gone through horrible tests and trials at different times. We've been through things that have been traumatic at times, and we've survived it. We've come out the other side, and we get to celebrate the family that we've become. It's amazing that Jesus says something very similar about us in these verses that we're reading today. So I'm going to pray for us, and we'll read these verses. And we'll jump into the meat of the message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, I thank you for a church that has the ability at this point in our lives to bring a group in and to help us even elevate our worship more, Lord, like we've been able to today. Lord, I'm thankful for the fact that even though sitting in the congregation today are people that view things very differently than each other, we view you the same. We have fellowship and similarity and family in one another because of you. And not because we agree on everything, because we agree in you. And Lord, help us to remember that as we go through the message today. Amen. Hebrews 2:11 through 18 says, "For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified," that's us, "all have one source. And that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." Imagine that. The Lord, our Savior, is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, saying, "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise." He will sing God's praise to us, and we now sing it to him. "And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." We have a Savior who can identify with us, who has been here, who became flesh, who was tempted in all the ways that we are, who struggled, who went through the trials of life. And he is now not ashamed to call us family. We share in this family that's been created, this one source family that we share. In these verses, we see several different quotes from the Old Testament to support his point. Some of that was because he was writing to the Jews, but some of it was because the New Testament wasn't complete yet when this book was being written. If it was, he might have used verses like this too, Mark 3:31-35. "And his mothers and brothers came standing outside. They sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking about at those that sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother, my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" Whoever does the will of God. That's us that are believers that have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We become one family. One thing I learned in boot camp was how reputations work, you know. I mean, I'd learned that some before that, unfortunately. But when I went to boot camp, I was so happy to be out of Parkersburg. And I thought, I was sure growing up that the way to forward myself to get a better life was to get out of Parkersburg, West Virginia. So when I went to boot camp, I said that almost every day. I told them all the horrible things about Parkersburg, West Virginia. When we graduated boot camp, there were some that weren't going to go home. We didn't really have enough time for some of them because they lived on the West Coast and so on. Anyway, I said, "Well, you should come back to West Virginia with me." And they said, "Why would we want to come back to West Virginia with you? I mean, all you've done for 10 weeks is tell us how horrible West Virginia is. Why would we want to come back?" It reminded me that sometimes we can do a really bad job of representing our family. We can somehow start talking bad about them and then wonder why nobody wants to be a part of it. You know, if you talk bad about your biological family and you share the same last name, it trickles down to you too, you know. And if the Spades earn a bad reputation in town, it's going to affect me as a person. It's something we should remember when we're talking about our fellow believers in Christ. Remember that our reputation is their reputation. It's important that we not let divides of the world cause us to tear our church apart or to tear any church apart. We're all a part of that family. One of the greatest things, even about the little thing you saw, or if you got one when you came in, about the Annie Armstrong Easter offering is because that goes to support churches all over North America. We have family all over this country meeting today. All over the world meeting today. Sometimes we just need a place to belong, and we struggle with that. And for me, at least early on in my faith, particularly, the church became that place. You became my family, as much or more than any biological family I ever had. And that's only grown over the last 17 years. It certainly hasn't shrunk. It's changed. I mean, people have come and gone, and differences happen. I mean, we see that all the time. But part of what we do as a family is lay the foundation for the next person that's going to come in behind us. It's one of the things I love about, on a normal Sunday, looking up here and seeing people from, from 70s to all the way down to their teens up here leading worship. But you guys have a very similar dynamic. Well, not quite that. You guys aren't 70. But Jason's a little grayer like I am. Than we used to be. Rodney's not as young as we used to was. So I mean, it just seems like, but there's two guys with them that are half my age, or less than half my age, and they're laying the foundation for this. So one day, Jason's not going to be able to do this anymore. One day, I'm not going to be able to do it anymore. I need to elevate my family so that there's someone to come up and take those places, not tear it all down. Because whoever does the will of God is brothers and sisters and mothers and family. They may not do it the same way we do. They probably don't walk, talk, act, color their hair the same way we do. Well, nobody colors their hair the same way I do. Well, a couple of people. I see some glowing domes out there. Ephesians 2:19 says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." That's a phenomenal statement. If you didn't belong anywhere else, you belong here. You belong with this group of people. It's just a phenomenal aspect of our Lord. He takes people from all different backgrounds and pulls us together somehow and makes a family out of that. And you should learn to love your family. You're going to spend eternity with them. So if you need to, right now would be just as good a time to get over yourself as any other, because you are stuck with the other believers in this room and several from other rooms for the rest of your life. Learn how to love them. That's what Christ tells us in Scripture. Love one another. And by this, they will know that you are my disciples. We are fellow citizens with the saints. We're members of the household of God. Romans 8:28 gives us this promise because of that. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." I've said this before, but it's really important. Don't read that as saying all things are good. That's not what he is saying here. What he's saying is he will work all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. It means sometimes we don't understand what's going on, but somewhere down the road we'll see it. 3 years, 2001 to 2004, I absolutely could not see the value of God or family of God or anything else. And for me, I was absolutely miserable. The woman I had married was not the same woman I was seeing every day anymore. I married a party girl that wanted to go out and do things with me every night. Now all of a sudden she had someone else her allegiances were to. 3 years, 4 years down the road, I understood what it was. I understood why the changes were. I understood what it was, so all things worked together for good in the end to bring me to a place of believing. And sometimes we have to go through some bad things to bring other people to a place of believing. I think that's what we're going through right now. We have lessons we're supposed to learn right now about the way that we serve God and the way we worship Him that we were not going to learn apart from the things we've been through. Steel becomes harder because it's heated up. It's tempered. Strengthened. We can cling to the promise that for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Remember the last few weeks we've talked about how we need to look more and more like Christ. The goal here is that we begin to look more like him. Not that we learn to like deal with everybody's differences. It's that everybody's differences become less significant because we're working towards becoming like Christ. We become more and more common, not more and more divided. More and more united in the things that we share. Conformed to the image of his Son. Why? In order that he might be, Christ, might be the firstborn of many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Those are great passages. They say God began the work in you and God will complete the work in you. It means even when we want to abandon the family of God, our source, God never abandons the family, ever. We share that one source. I said before, we don't all always get along. There's certainly enough people in here to highlight that fact. Sometimes you all like me more than others. Sometimes I like you all more than others. But in the end, we have one source. If we focus on God, if that one point of commonality is the only thing we focus on, these peripheral things that we're so divided about now will just fall away. They just become less significant. They cannot stand in the light of the Lord. They can't. Our source is not political party or any of those things. It's not the worldly things that tell us we have to be these ways. I mean, Satan has been making empty promises to the world for so long that we should have caught on by that by now. If you'll just do this, everybody should do this. Well, what we do is instead of focusing on the one thing that we should be growing towards, we become divided. I know I'm not Pollyannish enough to believe that we're all going to do the Three Musketeer thing, you know, all for one for all. That's not always going to happen. We're going to have our disagreements. We're going to have our arguments or our opinions that are differing. But just like in the beginning, be careful about what you are saying about members of your family because it impacts you as well. And when you can't figure out, how do I reconcile the fact that there's a Democrat on this aisle and a Republican on this aisle? How do these people get together? You focus on the one source. They're not going to look at your voter registration when you get to the gates of heaven. I promise they won't. And if they do, it might be something that sends you back somewhere. One source. Look to the one source. When you look to that one source, those things become less interesting, less worrisome, less prominent. But we keep taking these things in the world and elevating them to that place and then wondering why it comes up empty, why we're frustrated, why we're hurt. When we put those things in front, we exhibit everything that Scripture tells us to rid ourselves of. But when we put God at our source, suddenly malice can go away, anger can go away, bitterness can go away. Love becomes the predominant feeling that we feel. Admiration, glory. Thinking of one another as more important than ourselves. Looking to others' interests as bigger than our own. This world right now desperately needs a church focused on the one source. Jesus has his source in the Father. We have our source in the Son. We have our helper in the Spirit. Our one source together is the triune God. That's why it says in Philippians 2:2, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. It doesn't mean there's not differences. That's not what this means. What it means is the differences are not enough to override the things we share in common. Because none of those things is bigger than our God. None of those things is more important than our worship of Him, our gratitude, our joy, our hope. Lord, can you imagine facing this world without the hope that something better was ahead? No wonder we grasp at straws if that's what we believe. Anything to alleviate the depression and the discouragement of the world around us, so we cling to these things and place them in the spot of God, hoping they will be the answer. And the worst part about it is when we, the family of God, do that, when we elevate those things, when we talk up too much things that don't belong there. It's a form of idolatry. That's why Scripture tells us to be careful of that. It's very easy to elevate anything in front. This passage is just a really great reminder for this morning. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. There are more than two or three of us here today. So guess who else is here? Amen. Who we should be focused on. John 15, 4 through 5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." We need to abide in him, stay close to him. If we stay close to him, we begin to yield the fruit we want to bear. The fruit that we desire to see in our lives, the kindness, the gentleness, the love, the respect. When we distance ourselves from him is when we start to see other fruit. You know, sin has fruit just like the Spirit has fruit. Sin in your life will produce certain things out of you almost involuntarily. We have to stay close to God. Abide in him. Treat our family well. I can't tell you the amount of love that I have for this family. What does this all mean for us today? It means we have a Savior who has called us brothers and sisters. It also means I now have thousands of brothers and sisters. My family is huge, and your family is huge. It means that I have a Savior who I can depend on because He says He's never going to leave us. This family won't be abandoned by God. He's not going to leave us to our own devices. I have people who I can depend on. I have brothers and sisters in Christ that I can call upon when I need something, especially when I need encouragement. I have people that depend on me. It gives me a sense of purpose, a reason for doing the things that I do. Because there are people that depend on it. We as believers get to share in that fact. Nothing is more beautiful than the body of Christ, especially when it functions the way it's supposed to. Because someone comes to me and says, "You know what? I've had an issue where I had an abortion, but I don't know what to do." And I'd say, "Well, I don't either. But I know someone in this family who's experienced that same thing, and God brought them through it. Let me introduce you to this person." Or somebody who's been in a series of abusive relationships. "I know people in this church that I can point them to that can tell them how God helped to deliver them from those circumstances and to overcome the hurt that was in their life." Or when somebody has an addiction problem, or somebody has whatever it is, there's somebody in the body of Christ that can minister to them in a way, even if I can't. It means that I don't have to be the whole body. I just have to be my part of the body. My part of the family. I have people Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And what it means by that last statement is we're born to be together in those moments, to walk through those things together, to stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and go forward. That's one of the reasons why in boot camp, for instance, you become galvanized as far as family, because you anticipate walking into a battle where you could potentially die, and you need the people on each side of you. We are in no less of a dangerous or precarious place. Remember, he's roaming around like a lion, looking for whom he shall devour. How do lions hunt? They separate you. They get you out away from the family, from the herd. And once they do, we need each other. We've always needed each other. It's the beauty of the family of God. Brothers are born for adversity. We're there when you need us. We're there when we ring the bell when no one else will ring the bell. That's why you are my family. I care deeply for each of you. As such, I can be hurt easily by you. But I can also be easily lifted up by you. And it's no different for you. The people we love are the ones that have the most access to hurt us. And it happens. It does. But nobody can lift you up quicker than those people too. Rudyard Kipling once wrote about families, "All of us are we, and everyone else is they." You ever notice that? I mean, when you're talking about your family, it's okay for you to talk about your family, but as soon as somebody else starts to talk about your family, then all of a sudden there are they. Hey, wait a minute. No, you're not a part of my family. You're not allowed to say those things about my family. We get very protective. A family shares things like dreams, hopes, possessions, memories, smiles, frowns, gladness. A family is a clan held together with the glue of love and the cement of mutual respect. A family is a shelter from the storm, a friendly port when the waves of life become too wild. No person is ever actually alone if they're a member of a family. Boy, the world has tried their best over the last 12 months to make you feel alone. Isolate you, to push you to parts away from one another. And the fact of the matter is, we need each other. We need to be together. One of the greatest things about this weekend is being able to come tonight and just fellowship and worship Christ together. To invite a group in like this, we're back to that place, I feel like, as a church where we can do those things, and I'm going to enjoy it tonight, because I'm getting to spend time with my family. I don't even have to preach tonight. All I got to do is just come and raise hands and sing to the Lord. But I need you, and you need me. We need each other. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We need to stir one another up to love and good works. We need to remind each other that we're still family. There are some people in this room today, that there's somebody else in this room you need to go up and hug. You need to go up and tell them, "Look, you are still my brother or sister in Christ." We need to be stirred up to love and good works. We need to encourage one another, especially as we continue to see the day draw near. And I doubt very seriously that there's any serious believer that doesn't believe the day is drawing near. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down." Oh, it's extremely true. When we're worried, when we're concerned, when we're fearful, We are weighed down. It's like you can't get out from underneath of it. The stress is unbearable. But then the verse continues. But a good word makes him glad. That's where I feel like God has used this family more than any other time in my life, is the times where every weight in the world is pushing me down. Someone, and it's been multiple someones in this church, always comes along and says, you know what, you're doing a good job, or I'm praying for you, or we love you, or because a good word makes him glad. It really means makes his heart glad. Lifts us up. Jesus says he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Imagine that. Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord, is not ashamed to call us brothers, even when he probably should be. Even when we have forgotten that we're one family with one source, even when we are bickering internally, he's still not ashamed. It tells us, for he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source, and that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. He is not ashamed of me, and I will not be ashamed of him. And for what it's worth, I'm not ashamed of you. We are one family with one source. And I will not be ashamed of that fact. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Over the course of the last few weeks, we've talked about not drifting and paying attention to what God is doing and who he is, about suffering and allowing that to produce good character in us, about allowing ourselves to become more and more like Christ. And today I want you to remember that we need to love like family. And then the question just simply becomes, are you a part of this family today? So as we go to our time of invitation, I would encourage you to think and pray about that. Is this a family that you're a part of? Or do you feel like maybe you've been estranged from your family for a period of time? And there's things you need to ask forgiveness for, about attitudes in your heart towards another believer that aren't where they should be. But if there's something in your life, something that you need to get straight between you and God, this time of invitation is a great time for that. If it's something where you need to accept Christ as your Savior, you can come forward during this time. I'll help you with that process. But if those things aren't what you need, then at least during this time of invitation, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that we get reminded of the one source and not so many of the distractions. If you would please stand with me and we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that today, Lord, you are here with us. And Lord, I am thankful we are here with you. We are family. And Lord, we look to you to tell us how to behave, how to treat one another, how to grow. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done already and what you will continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died and you're my king. died for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die? In all I do, I honor you. In all I do, I honor you.
It's always a good day when somebody chooses to follow Christ with their life, to surrender their life to Christ. And we had that this morning with Marley. She's come forward to profess her belief in Jesus Christ. So we're grateful for you. We're thankful for you taking this step, and welcome to the family of God.